وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. جزاك الله أحسن الجزاء حضرت مولانا سليم صاحب for your kind words and your duas. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his choicest blessings on you. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم جاهدوا في سبيل الله بأموالكم وأنفسكم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International, this morning we will be discussing a Sahabi by the name of Wathila ibn Asqa radiallahu ta'ala an. His name is Wathila and his kunniyat is Abu Qurdada. He came to Medina Munawwara in the 9th year of Hijri, a few days before the expedition to Tabuk, with the intention of embracing Islam, and he presented himself before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, "Go and take a bath with water and berry leaves, and clean your hair of jahili times." After saying this, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam placed his hand of affection on his head. The preparation for the expedition to Tabuk commenced soon after he embraced Islam. All the mujahideen were making their personal preparations. Wathila also went home to make his preparations, but there was nothing at home, so he returned. So by the time he returned, the mujahideen had departed, and there seemed to be no way he could join them. However, his desire for jihad made him restless, so he went about in the alleys of Medina Munawwara calling out, "Who will take me to Tabuk in exchange for the booty?" Coincidentally, an old Ansari was also left behind, and he said, "I will take you. I will provide you with food and seat you on my animal. Place your reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings and get ready." So Wathila radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not need to get ready because he had nothing, and joined the Ansari man immediately. The latter took great care of him and was very kind to him. They joined the battle of Tabuk. So after the battle, Hazrat Wathila radiallahu ta'ala anhu received 6 camels as booty. As per the condition, he took them to the Ansari man, and after examining them carefully, he said, "All your camels are excellent animals," this Ansari man said. So Wathila said, "As per our agreement, I present them all to you." So the Ansari said, "To my nephew," this was out of affection and love, "these camels are yours. You may keep them. My purpose was solely to gain the reward of the year after." Wathila radiallahu ta'ala anhu was from among the Ashab Sufa, whose occupation was studying and imparting knowledge. This was also Wathila's occupation. In addition to this, he would also take the opportunity of attending to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and serving him. Although it was a short period of service, about 12 to 15 months, it enabled him to remain close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and derive benefit from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thus, he remembered many ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wasila's principles in narrating hadith is amazing. When narrating hadith, Wasila did not consider it essential to quote the exact words. Instead, he felt it sufficient to narrate the meaning of the hadith. So those who were in the quest for hadith used to come to him. Makhul came to him on one occasion and said, O Abu al-Asqa, relate a hadith regarding which you have no doubt whatsoever. It must neither have any addition to it, nor anything left out from it. So on hearing these conditions, he addressed all who were present and said, Has any one of you read the Quran last night? So they replied, Yes, but we are not Hafiz, those who memorize the Quran. So he said, When you cannot memorize the Quran correctly, and if you have the fear of additions and subtractions, when you read it from memory, although it is written and kept with you, how can the hadith be remembered exactly word for word when in most cases we hear it just once? So when it comes to narrating hadith, it is sufficient for you to relate its meaning and message correctly. Hazrat Wasila radiallahu ta'ala anhu was very particular about the different forms of dhikr. His daughter Asma relates, My father would remain seated from after the Fajr Salah until sunrise. He would face the Qibla and engage in reading wazifas. If I to go to speak to him about some work, he would not reply. So I asked him one day, Why do you not speak? So he replied, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, When a person reads Qul huwallahu ahad, Surah Ikhlas, 100 times after the Salah, without speaking to anyone, his sins of 1 year are pardoned. Subhanallah, glory be to Allah. This shows the virtue of occupying oneself with wazifas during this time. Unfortunately, people are neglectful in this regard. He was very poor in the beginning, and that is why he had joined the Ashabi Sufa. Allah Ta'ala made him prosperous later, and he was very generous during this time. He would call people to join him for the afternoon and evening meals. So all wealthy people ought to be generous like him. Unfortunately, most of them are miserly and abstain from spending even during times of necessity and need. Mulana Qamar Zaman makes this particular point. So may Allah Ta'ala enable us all to spend for good causes. Ameen. So he passed away in 83 Hijri at the age of 105. May Allah Ta'ala be pleased with him. Now we discuss a very, very important personality who is known as Sayyid al-Shuhada, Hazrat Sayyiduna Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala an. His name is Hamza. His kunniyat is Abu Ya'la Abu Ammara. His title is Asadullah, the Lion of Allah. His father's name is Abdul Muttalib. He was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's paternal uncle. He was also related to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam from the maternal side. His mother, Hala binti Wuhayb, was a paternal cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's mother, Hazrat Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha. In addition to the above relationship, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu was also Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's foster brother. Abu Lahab's slave woman, Hazrat Suwayba radiallahu ta'ala anha, had breastfed both of them. He was 2 years older than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As was his habit, he was gone hunting and was returning to Makkah Mukarramah. When he reached Mount Safa, a slave girl said to him, O Abu Ammara, if only you had returned a bit earlier so that you could see what condition your nephew was in. He was standing near the Kaaba Sharif and delivering a talk about his religion when Abu Jahl came and uttered verbal abuses against him and mocked him in a disgraceful manner. But Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not give any reply. He was helpless and departed. No sooner Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu heard this, he was overcome by a fervor to defend Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He hastened towards the Kaaba Sharif. When he used to return from hunting, it was his habit to stop and speak with whomever he met on the way. But now he was so overcome by the desire for revenge that he did not look at anyone and proceeded directly to the Kaaba. He went to Abu Jahl, struck him severely with his quiver, and injured him. On seeing this, a few people from the Banu Makhzum ran to help Abu Jahl and said, "O Hamza, you have probably forsaken your religion as well." He replied, "When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's truthfulness is obvious to me, is there anything which can stop me? Yes, I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Allah's messenger, and that whatever he says is the truth. By Allah, I cannot turn away from him now. If you are true, try stopping me." So Abu Jahl said, "Leave Abu Ammara. By Allah, I was very vulgar and abusive to his nephew." This was a time when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had been seeking refuge in the house of Arqam ibn al-Arqam, and the Muslims numbered just a few weak and poor souls. But with Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu's acceptance of Islam, the situation suddenly changed, and the unbelievers' free reign of terror and persecution came to an end. This is because Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu was very brave, and he displayed his valor, and was acknowledged by everyone in Makkah Mukarramah. In the brotherhood which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam established in Makkah Mukarramah, his beloved slave Hazrat Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu ta'ala anhu was paired with Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He developed such a deep bond with Hazrat Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu that when he used to go for battle, he would make all his bequests to him. In the Battle of Badr, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu had wiped out many of the Quraysh leaders, so all the Quraysh polytheists were thirsty for his blood. Jubair ibn Mut'im had a slave by the name of Wahshi. Jubair trained him specifically to avenge the blood of his uncle, Tu'aymiyah ibn Adi, and promised liberation to Wahshi if he succeeded in his task. When the Battle of Uhud commenced, Wahshi was lying in wait for Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu behind the hill. When he happened to pass nearby, Wahshi threw his spear at him with full force and killed Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The women of the idol worshippers were very happy by Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu's martyrdom and began singing songs of joy. Abu Sufyan's wife, Hinda bint Utba, cut his nose and his ears. In addition to this, she cut his liver, chewed it, and spat it out. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard about this, he said, "Did she eat any of it?" So the people replied, "No." And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "O Allah, do not permit any part of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu to enter the hellfire." Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha was the blood sister of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When she heard about her brother's martyrdom, she came crying near his body, but Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not permit her to see him. He consoled and pacified her and sent her back. Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha gave her son Hazrat Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu two sheets which could be used for the kafan, for the shroud. But the corpse of an Ansari was also lying next to Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu without any kafan. She therefore gave one to each martyr of Islam. When the sheet was used to cover his head, the feet would be exposed. And when the feet were covered, the head would be exposed. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Cover the head with a sheet and use grass and leaves to cover the feet." The janazah of the Sayyidul Shuhada, leader of the martyrs, was prepared in this way. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam personally led the people in the janazah salah. Thereafter, all the other martyrs of Uhud were placed in line next to his body, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed the janazah salah for each one individually. In this way, after performing about 70 salahs, the soldiers of Islam buried the lion of Allah, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, in the field of Uhud. May Allah ta'ala be pleased with him. After a long time, the killer of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Wahshi, presented himself before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in order to embrace Islam. On seeing him, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, "Are you Wahshi?" He replied, "Yes." So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, "Were you the one who martyred Hamza radiallahu ta'ala?" He replied, "Whatever you have heard about me is correct." So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Can you conceal your face from me? If you can, then please do this." He never went in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the rest of his life and did not show his face to him. So there are two important points which are worthy of following, which we learn from this incident. After Wahshi embraced Islam, all his sins were automatically pardoned, and so all his mistakes and errors were wiped off. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, acknowledged, you know, his acceptance of Islam. And Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's pure heart accepted this. Despite this, because of his natural and innate love for Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped Wahshi from willfully coming in front of him. He did this so that his heart is not overcome by sorrow and grief at seeing him. So without doubt, we see, even if Wahshi remained in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's company for just a single moment, he achieved the honor of being a sahabi, an honor which is better than 1,000 kutubs, very high-ranking sheikhs. After acting on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's explicit request and still having intense love and respect for him, remaining patient for not being able to be in his company will inshallah earn him additional reward and honor. After the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Muslims had to do battle against Musaylama al-Kadhab, the imposter who claimed prophethood. So Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala joined in this battle with the hope of killing Musaylama and making up for the loss of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Consequently, he was successful in his objective. In this way, he brought more good to Islam than the harms which had caused it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him. Ameen. Great lessons from the lives of the Sahaba Ikram. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the fervor following our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and emulating these great Sahaba who fought in the various battles for the upliftment of Islam. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.